what is the attitude you're going to live with to determine whether you would consider 2020 to be a success or not? Will it be your income? Will it be your station in life? Or will it be that we have grown in our faith?
Are you looking for meaning or a word from God that's relevant to your life? Are you searching for a better understanding of who God is? Well, you're in the right place. You found the Gary Talks About God podcast. This is a weekly podcast that comes to you from the pulpit of Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church in Germantown, North Carolina. The podcast is hosted by Red Bank Senior Pastor Gary Sanders. Now let's get ready to take that walk through God's Word with our pastor, teacher, and friend. Hey, he's that guy we call Gary.
This morning we'll be in Philippians chapter 3, and then next week we will be back in Genesis as we seek to finish out that series. But I want us to take a look at the upcoming year and focus on some attitudes and looking forward to it. How many of you are familiar with the name Charles Swindoll? Do y'all know who he is? I think several people are. For those of you who do not, he is a long-term pastor and also president, chancellor, something like that, of Dallas Theological Seminary. But you may be most familiar with him through his radio show called Insight for Living. If you've ever listened to him, he's an excellent pastor, but one of the things I really enjoy about him is he's an amazing storyteller. He tells really some of the best stories that are out there. But he is well known for many different reasons, but he has a quote that has been repeated many, many times. And it's a good way to start our new year and ties into where we'll be in just a minute, Philippians. And I'd like to read it to you. And I will tell you, it's a little bit longer, so bear with me. He says, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, the education, the money, than circumstances, than failure, than success, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. And the only thing we can do is plan on the one thing we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes." Now, I like that quote because, well, many reasons, but one of it is so often we look at things and say we can't affect the outcome. I've said to people before the quote, "It is what it is," may be true, but I absolutely detest that quote because sometimes I feel like it may be what it is, but it's not what it is. And if you would get up and do something or change your attitude, it might not be what you think it is. So stop telling me it is what it is. Sorry, soapbox. All right. But we are in charge of our attitude. We are in charge of when something happens, whether we can control it or not, we are in that moment responsible and able to react to it. How are we going to respond? What is our attitude going to be? Is it going to be one of being upset and seek retribution, or is it one going to be one of peace? Are we going to seek to be offended that this happened or understand that things in life come at us? How are we going to take it and to move on? And that is what that quote tells us. 10% may just happen to you, but by and large, 90% is how you react to it. And as we start the new year, we're going to have a lot of chances to react to many things that come into our life. This year, I decided I wanted to do something a little bit different with my planning. I usually work through a sermon planner and where I'm going to preach and where I'm going to be, which for 11 years, it's done no good. So, but I try. I really do. But this year, I wanted to see the entire year at one glance. I wanted to just be able to look up and see the entire year, just kind of to put it together. And after much searching for a calendar to buy, I couldn't find one. I made my own, and you put it up there, and there's something about it where you look at the calendar, and it's completely blank. There's nothing on it. And you know by the time you get to December 31st that calendar is going to be full. There's going to be so many things on it: birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, events at the church, events at work. It's going to be full. But there's something about looking right there at a blank calendar before it's full. You're optimistic. I don't think anybody goes into a new year already feeling deflated. Even though nothing has really happened, except we moved from December 31st to January 1st, that just that one night, waking up and it being a new year, somehow brings new optimism and a new attitude. And so it's encouraging for us to look forward to 2020 and go, how are we going to behave? How are we going to act? What attitude are we going to carry with us into the year? And how do we accomplish that? Well, a great way to see that is by looking at Paul and his attitude that he reveals to us in Philippians chapter 3. Because when he does this, and as we read this in just a minute, Paul encompasses the three aspects of time: the past, the present, and the future. And he says, this is my attitude about the past, this is my attitude about the present, this is my attitude about the future. And when you take all of those together, it creates a vision for the upcoming year. And so this is what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider what I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Here is Paul talking in a passage that is probably very, very familiar to you. And he talks about his attitude in three tenses. And the first thing he draws our attention to is the past, where he says, I forget what lies behind. So as we go into a new attitude, a new year in 2020, we need to work on forgetting our past. Now, this is kind of a double-edged sword, right? We have a life that we have lived. We have experiences behind us, some good, some bad, that we can learn from. It would be absurd to say that everything that we have done, we just completely put off and we pay no regard to what we have done previously. That would not make any sense. We have memories that are precious and dear to us. We don't want to remember the lessons that we learned when we failed. And so we need to look at Paul and ask, what exactly is he saying here? He says, I forget what lies behind. And when Paul, you go back and you look at his past, he had a past that none of us would want to have, right? There were some good things in his life. He was obviously a brilliant man. He was called the Pharisees of the Pharisees, so he was a learned man. He learned underneath one of the premier rabbis at the time. He excelled. In today's terminology, he probably would be Dr. Paul. He learned a great deal. But on the other hand, Paul didn't like Christians. He did not like this Christ. He did not like the idea that Jesus was the Messiah. So how did Paul's life start off? Or how was Paul's life right there when Christ had risen from the grave and people were going around proclaiming his name? Did Paul, this learned man, decide he wants to hear and go? He knew the scriptures. Did he want to apply the scriptures that he knew to what Jesus had taught? Did he want to apply what he had been looking for his whole life to what the disciples were claiming has occurred? He didn't want to do that. Instead, what he decided was this man could not be the Messiah. These new called Christians need to be stopped because they are not correct. And so Paul goes and he starts persecuting the early church. It says that he is holding the coats of those when they stoned Stephen, indicating not just that he was some. I think sometimes we read that story and we think, oh, Paul must have been about 13 and like, hey, you have nothing else to do here. Hold my robe. And the implication there is not he was just some young kid who had nothing else to do, but as the one in charge, he was standing by, giving tacit approval to what was happening. He is carrying letters throughout Jerusalem and Israel to go and to arrest people and bring them back. Wherever he went in the early time of the church, people were afraid of him, and for good reason. They would be arrested. Paul would drag them into jail, maybe have them stoned. So when Paul writes, I'm forgetting my past, what he's saying is, I have done some bad things, but I'm not going to be enslaved to them. That's the difference. That's what Paul is pointing us to. Because we know that that day Paul was traveling to Damascus with letters again to arrest and to persecute the church when God met him on the road and blinded him and spoke to him and said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Stop kicking against the goads. I'm going to use you as my chosen instrument to take the gospel throughout the land. And in that moment, Paul went from being a persecutor of the church to a proclaimer of the gospel. And Paul says, you know what? That's who I was. That's what I did. But I am not that person now. I am not going to hold on to that. So that whatever I do going forward, I am enslaved to what has happened in the past. I think too often we are a slave to our past. I don't know about you, but I think I probably made a few mistakes last year. Why did my wife laugh out loud? I like to think it was just a great point that she was agreeing with, and it was her mistakes too, but I'm not sure that's what it was. I don't even know. Right? We made mistakes last year. We reacted in that moment, in that 90% where we had a chance to make a decision regarding our attitude, we chose poorly. We lashed out instead of taking a moment. We maybe made a bad financial decision. We maybe missed an opportunity to share the gospel. We maybe did something or missed participating in an activity or an outreach through the church. We may have just, life just seemed to assault us one day, and we just decided that we wanted to hide and withdraw from everybody and everything for a couple days. We made some mistakes last year. The question is, as you look back on last year, are you going to allow those mistakes to become a shackle so that you can't move forward? So that no matter how far you try to walk, every time you take a step, that one leg is still tethered to the spike behind you that's got you gripped in it? Or are you going to look back and think, hey, you know what? There's been some times in my past where I failed, where I had a mistake, but my greatest glory was not that I failed, but through that failing, I rose above it and I succeeded. Every one of us here this morning has some things in common. The first time you tried to walk, you fell flat on your face. Now, you may not remember that, but you did. And your parents, oh no, and like, oh, are they going to be okay? And they get up and they try it again. But eventually, you walk. If you can swim this morning, the first time you tried to swim, you probably came close to drowning. You probably even say that, man, I got in the pool and I drowned. No, you didn't. You're here. Drown means you didn't make it. You flailed a lot and you looked horrible. Maybe when you got into your career, those first few years were difficult, but you came out ahead. You continued to press on. You weren't enslaved to those. Yet sometimes we enslave ourselves to attitudes and thoughts that keep us from moving ahead. Paul here is writing, we forget our past. We forget those sins. We don't let it ensnare us. That's why 1 John 1:9 is such a wonderful promise, because God says if we come to Him and we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins as far as the east is from the west. He's forgiven us. He's put them behind us. As we move into 2020, it's time to put those thoughts, those attitudes, and those sins behind us and no longer let them enslave us so that we can't move forward. As long as you are enslaved by your past, you will not move forward. Paul was able to move forward because he was able to put that behind him and say, I'm not who I once was. And so this year, we need to work on forgetting our past. Paul then says that not only that, he says that he focuses on the future. He says, straining forward to what lies ahead. He presses on. This is the one thing that he did. This is the one thing. Now, it's kind of funny because we all know, again, from Paul's life, he did more than one thing. Right? He was a preacher. He was a missionary. He was an author. He planted church. He did all of these things. But he says, the one thing that I did, the one thing was that I was straining forward to what lies ahead. I pressed on toward the goal. I was going forward. And what Paul is calling our attention to is that even though he had a past and even though he was living in the present, which we'll get to in a minute, he is looking to the future. Going, there is glory waiting for me out there. There is a time when the future, and that what he's talking about here is the coming of Christ and the time that he will be with Christ. And he's lying ahead, he's planning ahead for that. He's looking forward to that. And that's what his focus is on. Now, this is also is got to be careful, because we can live so much in the future that we forget about the present. Now, Paul is not going, hey, you know what? I'm going to be blind to everything else. Like I said, I've got this calendar on my wall, and I went through and I tried to color coordinate, because I don't know why I thought I would try. So I started filling it in. So there are some things going on in the future. You know, I went through and I put all, you know, birthdays are on there. Anniversary is on there. Holidays are on there. Wedding in June is on there. You know, I know there are some things in my future that I'm looking forward to. I plan on having a good time. I can't wait till they get here. But that is not the one thing. That is not the one thing that we should be focused on. Yes, we know they're coming. Yes, we plan. Yes, we make appropriate things, appropriate plans for what is coming. That would be foolish not to, right? You read in the Proverbs, God commends the ant who stores up for the winter. There is forward looking for us where we make plans and we are reasonable. But we don't live in the future to the extent that we miss the now. But Paul tells us what our future should be focused on. And the future should be focused on Christ and His kingdom. So as we look to the future of 2020, what are our priorities? What is your big goal? What was your top resolution for 2020? All right? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This was mine. I do have a wedding coming up in 2020. And John has made it clear that we're going to go buy suits for his wedding. And I'd like my suit to be a little skinnier than it might be right now. I've enjoyed the past 3 months of parties and cakes and birthdays and celebrations. And I want a little bit better body to be in the suit in June 20th. And so I confess right here this morning, my top goal for 2020 for me was to lose a little bit of weight to look better in my suit for June 20th. Now, we have a problem. And that is, as a pastor, that probably should not have been my top goal. But I'm going to be honest with you, it was. Paul is writing and encouraging us and telling us our top goal for 2020 should be our spiritual life. That should be our top goal. that we, as it says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Where did that come in your list of resolutions? It was number two on mine, all right? It was number two. But what was your number one? Was it to lose weight? Was it to eat better? I got a whole plan that starts tomorrow because the new year being in the middle of the week, I couldn't start in the middle of the week. I needed a Monday. It's just the way I think. But starting tomorrow, you know, starting tomorrow, was it to make more money? Newer house, bigger house, new car, 3-week vacation, travel. What was your top priority for the future? Because if the top priority for 2020 is anything other than seeking his kingdom first, then we've got our priorities out of line. And that needs to be the first. That needs to be the top. And how do we do that? You know, that's the thing. Seeking his kingdom first, we've made it too complicated. Right? I mean, we have. I mean, there's some really good books out there about spiritual growth and everything, and sometimes I read them and go, man, this is too complicated. You had a PhD, and you had to write something that sounded like you had a PhD. But it's just not that hard. The way to draw closer to God and to focus on his kingdom first is so simple. Read your Bible. Do you have a Bible reading plan? What is it? It can be read your Bible from cover to cover throughout the year, start to finish. My plan this year is a little bit different. Let me just say this. I know everybody says you need to read your whole Bible throughout, you know, beginning to end in the year. And that's great, and you ought to at some point in your life and probably do it more than once. But I do that some years, and some years I don't. This year I'm not. This year I have I forget the exact title. It's given to me by Charles Edwards. And it's very liturgical in its readings and its prayers. And that's what I'm using. And so some days, my Bible reading for the day is only 4 verses. And that's okay. That's okay. But do you have a plan to read your Bible? Bible reading. Prayer. How's your prayer life? How is your prayer? You don't need a great big book on prayer to determine how your prayer life is. We've made prayer overly complicated. It's not that hard. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is also listening to God. Make sure when you pray, you listen as much as you talk. All right? That's a hard one for me. I have to listen more. Number three, all right? So you see how hard this is? I am saving you a lot of money by not going out and buying a book. Read your Bible. Pray. Worship together. You know, do not listen to anybody that says, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Do not listen to anybody that says, I don't need to be gathered together with the worship. I can worship Christ wherever I am. Don't listen to anybody who makes excuses for why they're not in worship on Sunday morning. Okay? Christ died for the church. And he encourages us and commands us to come together to worship. It's not an option. Now, could we meet Thursday at 3 o'clock and worship and have a church? Absolutely. Okay? However, we are called to worship together. Number four, all right? You follow me? Bible study, prayer, worship. Number four, be involved in ministry. Be involved in ministry. We have opportunities throughout the year to be involved in ministry. And we've looked at this and we've kind of been working our way through Bible verses about doing exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or imagine through him. God, we are your workmanship. He has created us and laid out good works for us that we may do them. So we need to be involved in ministry. You need to be involved in ministry this year. That should be at the top of your list. Growing spiritual growth this year, seeking first his kingdom. And through those four simple things. Now, did that sound really hard? Does it sound like you need to know Greek or Hebrew to understand that? Do you need to read a 350-page book to understand those four truths? It is honestly that simple. Read your Bible, pray, be in worship together, and engage in ministry. And if you do that, then you will be fulfilling Matthew 6:33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because you can't be doing those four things. Well, I guess you could. But if you are doing those four things, I'm going to argue you are most likely seeking God's kingdom. And then he says, by the way, when you do that, everything else will be added unto you. If you do everything else first, or try to, you've got it backwards. You seek his kingdom first, and then he adds everything to you. And so that should be what we focus on in the future. So that by the end of 2020, December 31st, 2020, you should be more spiritually mature than you were on January 1st of 2020. And you do that by making it your top priority. But then lastly, we function in the present. We function in the present. Paul makes it very clear. He says, the one thing I do in verse 13, and that is present tense. Okay? We live in the now. We can't escape that. You all know that silly quote. I can't remember what the beginning is, but we live in today, and that's why it's called a present, or that's why it's called present. You know that, I can't think of that silly little quote. But it's a good point. You live today. The decisions you make today, you make today. And so Paul says, this is what I do. We cannot live for the future at the expense of the day. But by doing those things, we're living in the day, and it impacts our future. Do you see how that goes together? That's what Paul is telling us to do. Now, the problem that we have is we don't often like to function in the present. We like to function in the someday. Well, someday I will get around to that. Someday I'll do this. Someday I'll start that Bible reading plan. Someday I'll get involved in this. Someday, 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 right? I have a list at home that has just, I guess I should title it my someday list. It's things that I want to do at the church. It's things I want to do in my personal life, and it's things that I want to do around the house. And so I guess this afternoon I'll retitle it my someday list, because someday I'm going to do those things. Someday I'm going to get around to repainting the carport. Someday. I just don't know when. But if we always live for the someday, we don't live the day that God has given us to the fullest. Again, we go back and look at Paul's life. Think about the time that Paul was in prison. If you were in prison, how would you live? Would you live for the day, or would you live for the day that you were released? I think many of us would live for the future, for when we would be released, whenever that was. But that's not how Paul lived when he was in prison. Even though he was in prison, he lived for that day. He wrote letters. He sung hymns. He even converted some of his captors. I think that's the most amazing thing, right? I mean, jail back then was not jail today, right? The guards back then could beat you. The guards back then, other than their life was on the line if you died, didn't really care how close to death you were, as long as you didn't cross over. And so here's Paul, day after day, living it to his fullest, going, you know what? I'm going to tell you about Christ today. You know what? I'm going to write a letter today. He functioned in the present. And he didn't let the future trap him or keep him from operating in the now. A couple quotes that I found about the future. Ben Franklin says, do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of. We don't squander today. Lincoln, the leading rule for a man of every calling is diligence. Never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. And the worst thing that we do is we put off tomorrow our spiritual development. And that's what Paul is calling us to. He says, I do this. It's got to be every day. We can't put that off. So this morning, as we're starting a new year, How are you going to live? What is the attitude you're going to live with to determine whether you would consider 2020 to be a success or not? What metric are you going to look back on December 31st and gauge 2020 by? Will it be your income? Will it be your station in life? Or will it be, as Paul is encouraging us here this morning, that we have grown in our faith? That we are seeking His kingdom, and we do that by forgetting our past. Yeah, again, those mistakes that you made, don't be a slave to them. The future is coming. Yes, it is. But don't live so far out ahead that you miss today, but function in the present. And if you do that, then you're going to have an attitude that is on spiritual things and spiritual matters. That you'll be seeking first the kingdom of God. So this morning, as we move into our time of invitation, let me ask you this. Which one of those do you have the most trouble with? Which one is the one that you have struggled in your past to get over, or struggled up until today to get over? Is it escaping something in the past? Is it not being able to live and function in the present? Or are you so hoping things will be better later that you miss now as well? And the reason I ask that is because during the time of invitation, maybe it's a time for you to stop and come to God and come to Him in prayer and say, this is not what I want to carry into 2020 with me. And then based on the truth of His Word, you can confess that and He will forgive you. And then you say, you know what? I'm going to resolve through the strength of the Spirit to do this year and to seek His kingdom first. Maybe this morning, as a believer, that's where you need to start 2020 and start during the invitation. Maybe this morning you need to start the new year because you need to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. You've put it off and you've rejected it. And this morning you finally come to understand that you are enslaved not just to your past but to your sins that's going to take you to hell. And you need to come and confess Him as Lord and Savior so that your future then will not be one of eternal separation but will be one where you are with Him forever and ever. How this morning do you need to respond to God's leading to set you up so that you have the right attitude for 2020?
You've been listening to the Gary Talks About God podcast. Are you looking for a church? Well, Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church is a community of believers who exist to glorify God and see transformed lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at www.redbankmbc.com. Also, come visit us on Sunday at 8104 Red Bank Road in Germantown, North Carolina. Did you like this podcast? We put one out each and every week, so don't forget to subscribe. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we thank you for listening.